got a copy of God's Word, I invite you to turn with us once again, Gospel of Matthew, chapter number 10. And I want to read this section of Scripture as introduction as to what we're looking at and whom that we're looking upon. And we're taking time to just look at the lives of these men that walked and lived with the Lord Jesus over the discourse of three and a half years as they were here upon this earth, allowing themselves to be taught. Just wanting to be a pupil of the Lord Jesus, wanting to learn. And I hope that's why you're here in God's house tonight, is that you come to give Him worth. You come to ascribe worth unto Him because He has blessed you and because He's been so kind to you and so generous. And we should do that, amen? We should come to the Lord's house with a heart full of thanksgiving and a heart full of joy. But we also should come ever so desiring to leave this place with something that we might be able to use. It might just be something you might be able to use tomorrow. But it might be something you'll learn tonight through the life of a man by the name of Philip that might help you throughout all the rest of your days. But nevertheless, let's stand in honor and reverence for the reading of the Word of God, Matthew chapter 10, verse number 1. I want to preach to you tonight on this thought, ways God works. Ways God works. The Bible says in chapter 10, verse 1, Gospel of Matthew, "When He had called unto Him His 12 disciples, He gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. Now the names of the 12 apostles are these: the first Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew his brother, James the son of Zebedee, and John his brother, Philip and Bartholomew." But we're going to look at the life of Philip tonight. This thought, ways God work. You may be seated tonight. Hopefully the Lord will help me here for a few moments as we strive to preach. I have allergies in a bad way. This time of year is my worst time of year, and that weed pollen is thick, I'm telling you. Thick. I'm waiting on a good heavy frost. Amen. Old Jack Frost helped me out when he can kill off that weed pollen. But it's good to be in the Lord's house tonight. And thinking about this man by the name of Philip. Now, there's 12 disciples, 12 apostles of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And we've had the privilege thus far to look at the life of four of them. Now we've come to this fifth one in the book of Matthew as they're listed there. And we come upon a man by the name of Philip. Now, this is probably the only time that Philip's name is mentioned in the Gospel of Matthew. His name's only mentioned once in the Gospel of Mark, once in the Gospel of Luke. In like setting, just as this, where the disciples' names or the apostles' names are listed, for you and I to know who it was that spent their time, gave of their life to live with the Lord Jesus while He was here in public ministry. So we see that those were 12 apostles, 12 disciples, learners, pupils of the Lord. Now, they were just common, ordinary folk for the most part. Amen. Some were fishermen. Some might have been common laborers. Some, as we know, Matthew was a publican or a tax collector. Some came from positions of honor. Some were just nobodies. Some come from a background of knowing the Word of God, being taught and brought up in the things and the ways of God, and Philip being one of those. But some were just people that had probably no idea necessarily as to whom God truly was. And we find that God can take nobody, amen, and make a somebody out of them. None of them are the same. And once they encounter Jesus, they're never the same, amen. That's the way we ought to be. Once Jesus comes into our life, once He makes an impression upon our heart, once He places His footprint and He lays it down before us, my friend, and we begin to walk in His steps and we begin to live in the way and the manner that we know that He would be pleased with, my friend, we're never the same. I believe that Philip was one of these men that was never the same. Now, Philip was a man that's more of a curiosity type person. He had a lot of wisdom about himself in many ways. But yet there were still some things that he was uncertain about. He was unsure of. And we find, as we're going to look tonight, even the longer that he lived with Jesus, the longer that he walked with Him, you'd think that he would have been able to grasp some things. But yet there were still some things that he did not quite fully understand. Now, I'll tell you, I don't believe we'll fully know it all until we get to heaven. Amen? I don't believe we're going to fully know it all until we have that glorified mind, until we have that glorified body with the mind of Christ fully. But I believe that we ought to be some things we ought to be able to grasp on this side of eternity. But I want you to look with me over in that fourth gospel, the Gospel of John. And we've looked at these passages before when we were able to study the book verse by verse, line by line, precept upon precept, as we walk through the pages of the Gospel of John. But over in John chapter number 1, we find this man by the name of Philip, this disciple, this apostle of the Lord Jesus mentioned there. And I want to begin in about verse number 43. And we find there in John chapter 1 and verse 43, we're going to learn about something about the way that God works. First of all, the lessons on life. There's some lessons about life that Philip brings to light here in the Bible here in John chapter 1. Now in verse 43, the Bible says, the day following, Jesus would go forth into Galilee. Now Jesus, His desire was to not hoard the gospel, not to just minister unto a certain sect or unto a certain group or unto a certain tribe. But my friend, He came to share the gospel with all the Jews. He came and He preached and He gave of His time and He gave of His efforts and He gave of His life that the Jews first might be able to come to a saving knowledge of whom God was. And we find the Bible says there that the day following Jesus would go forth into Galilee. And the Bible says, and He findeth Philip, and He saith unto him, follow me. Now, ain't it wonderful how that Jesus encounters Philip? I'll tell you, I believe that Philip had been looking for years, as he had probably sat at his grandpa's knee, and had heard him read of the Word, and had heard him tell of the prophets, and had heard him speak of the law, and had heard him share of all these great, wonderful things in which that God had done in days past. He had heard of how that God had brought a man of Abram out of Ur of the Chaldees, and that Abram followed God by faith, and how that through Isaac and Jacob, and all the way down through the tribes of Israel, through those that had been taken off into Egyptian bondage, how that God had been faithful, and how that He had blessed them and had been committed unto them. And he had heard great marvelous things about how that God had blessed the Jews. But he still knew that through the Word of God and the teaching of the Word of God, that there was one to come that was going to be their Messiah. There's one to come that was going to be their Savior. There's one to come that's going to deliver them from oppression. That's going to help them out of the valleys that they might have been in their life. And the Bible says there that Jesus came and He encountered Philip. The Bible says there that He findeth him. That findeth speaks of discovering something that was lost. Now I'll tell you what, the Bible describes unto us many things, but I begin to think about my own life. Hey, there's days and times where I can't remember where I put something. Hey, there's days and times where I can't remember might be where I put my keys. There's somebody here tonight still don't know where their cell phone's at. Hey, there's somebody here tonight that might have misplaced something, an item that you cherish and you hold dear, but you just can't remember exactly where it was. But well, I'm glad that Jesus came, and the Bible says that He found an old boy by the name of Philip. I'm thankful what it says over there in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter number 18 and verse 11. The Bible says that Jesus came to do nothing other than to seek and to save the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Amen. Hey, Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. And I want to remind you tonight that Philip was no different than you. He is no different than me. He was born in this world of sin. He was conceived in sin. He had no hope aside from the one that was to come. He had no way of redeeming himself, had no way of overcoming the law, had no way of overcoming the sin and the wages thereof unless Jesus intervened in his life. And the Bible says there that in verse number 43 that day following Jesus would go forth into Galilee and he findeth Philip and he saith unto him, follow me. Now I just wonder where that he found him. I just wonder what condition was Philip's life when he found him. What condition was his life when he encountered him? Now, Philip might have been just like some of y'all. Hadn't never experienced the world too much. He was raised in church, brought up in the house of God. Had godly parents that led you in the right way. You never really got out there and did the things of the world, never sowed to the flesh, and never was beguiled of the devil. I believe Philip might have fell in that way. But I'll tell you tonight, as I stand here, I dare to say that I'm not preaching to someone that wasn't found in waywardness. That might have been found clueless under the things of God. Might have been found in a place of desperation. But I'm here to tell you what, thanks be unto God, He found you. Amen. Hey, Jesus wants to teach some lessons on life. And He uses Philip here in chapter 1 of the book of John. The Bible says that He spoke unto him and He said, follow me. That's exactly what Jesus is asking of you and I tonight. Hey, whenever He saves us, whenever He delivers us, whenever He finds us in our place of destitute, whenever He finds us and brings us under relationship with God, what does He want us to do? He just wants us to follow Him. He don't want us to ask no questions. He don't want us to wonder. He don't want us to ponder around and try to decide. What He's asking is for us to follow Him. Now the Bible says in verse 44, it says, "Now Philip was of Bethsaida, at the city of Andrew and Peter." And the Bible says in verse 45 that Philip findeth Nathanael. Hey, I believe that old Peter and Andrew were probably close acquaintances with these other two, Philip and Nathanael, or Nathanael's other name is Bartholomew. And we find that these two are always mentioned together. It's probably like peas and carrots. They just were stuck side by side. They just lived there together. They wanted to be close to one another. And it's amazing what happened in Philip's life. Philip wanted to share the greatest thing that had ever happened in his life with his best friend, with that one that he desired to come to a saving knowledge also of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So the Bible says that once Philip began to follow Him, what did he desire to do? He desired to share the Word of God. He wanted to evangelize and tell somebody else about what Jesus might be able to do for them. Amen. Hey, if we're following Jesus, and once Jesus brings us under conviction, and He allows us to come to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we're born again, born from above, birthed into the family, what our one desire should be is to tell somebody else that Jesus saves. Tell somebody else there's a ray of hope. Tell somebody else, hey, there's a way other than the way that you're headed in now. Hey, there's hope for you if there's hope for me. And I found hope in one by the name of Jesus. Now the Bible says right there in verse number 45, it says, "Philip findeth Nathanael, and he saith unto him, We have found Him." Amen. Hey, we have found Him of whom Moses and the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. Hey, he said, we found Him. Hey, I believe he was a student of the law. I believe he was a student of the Word of God. I believe that he knew what the Bible said there in the book of Exodus as it began to teach the commandments and began to go through the law. And my friend, what does the law do? It is to do nothing other than to show us that God is holy and that we're rotten. It's to show us that God is pure and that we're putrefied. It's to show us that God is one that is to be reverenced. God is one that's never faltered, never failed. But we come up short every time that we read the law. Hey, it ought to bring conviction unto our hearts. Amen. Hey, without conviction, there can be no conversion. And my friend, the only hope for Nathanael, the only hope for Philip was to realize that when conviction is brought about, that sin is made evident in our life, that we realize that we're nothing but fallen short of the way of God, and there has to be somebody to help us. And the Bible says there that he said there's one of whom that Moses wrote about over there in the law. There's one also in whom the prophets did write. I'd say that as he was reading over there in the law or the Pentateuch in which Moses wrote in that first book, in the book of Genesis, chapter 3 and verse 15, he says, "And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." Amen. Hey, he could not kill Jesus. The devil could not overcome him. Hey, there's been enmity. There's been strife between righteousness and wrong. There's been enmity and strife between God and the devil from the beginning of time. But boy, I'm glad Jesus intervened, aren't you? Amen. I'm glad he came by and he stepped on the head of that old serpent, Satan himself. And my friend, old Satan might have come along. He might have bruised his heel. He might have taken him out for just a little while. So that he can make atonement for you and I. But praise be unto God, he arose on that third day. So we find here that he's made evident unto us in the law. He's made evident in the prophets. Over there in the book of Zechariah, he's referred to as the righteous branch. Over there in the book of Daniel, he's referred unto us as the fourth one in the fire. Over there in the book of Isaiah 53, he's described unto us as a suffering servant. I'm glad he's the Lamb of God, aren't you? I'm glad that he's the one that came to take away the sin of the world. So we find that Philip began to evangelize and begin to share with Nathanael as to whom that Jesus truly is. And then in verse number 46, the Bible says, "And Nathanael said unto him, Can there any good thing come out of Nazareth? Now you see, there was some racial hatred even in the day and time in which Jesus lived. Oh yeah. It wasn't something that just evolved in the 60s. It wasn't something that just took place here in these last few centuries. But we find, as history teaches, that the Judeans despised the Galileans, of whom Nathanael was, and the Galileans despised the Nazarenes. And Jesus came from Nazareth. And the Bible says there that Philip spoke unto Nathanael, of whom Jesus is. And Nathanael's response is, "Can there any good thing come out of Nazareth?" And Philip said unto him, "Come and see." I'll tell you what, if you'll give Jesus an opportunity tonight, He'll teach you some lessons on life that only He can teach. He'll teach you some lessons about living that only you can comprehend when you come to a saving knowledge of whom Jesus truly is. Hey, I'll tell you what, you think you're living when you get out on your own. You think you're living maybe whenever you get 16, you get that set of wheels and you have them licenses to go hither and thither. You think you've arrived. Think you've arrived when you turn 21. Think you've arrived wherever you've gotten out there and gotten your own place. But I'll here to tell you what, son. Hey, the only time you're ever going to start living is when you start living for the Lord Jesus Christ. And He'll help you. Hey, what do you have to do to get there? Hey, you got to come and see. Amen. Hey, I can't explain it to you well enough. I can stand and I can preach till I'm blue in the face. And some of you say, well, you're red. You're halfway there. I'm here to tell you what tonight, that the only way that you can truly know as to what Jesus can do for your life is to come and see for yourself. So we find that Philip teaches us some things about the ways God works. First of all, in some lessons on life. So we see here that we need to share Jesus. Amen. Just share what you know. Just share who you know. Amen. You can share by fact, through the Word of God. You can share about your faith. You can share about how your feelings are. Hey, I'm glad that Jesus doesn't say by feeling. But boy, when you get the facts straight and you get your faith in the right place, boy, you can feel God come by and feel God minister unto hearts. So we see that He teaches us some things about the way God works on some lessons on life. Turn with me to John chapter number 12. We find that Philip is once again mentioned over here in chapter 12, along about verse number 20. We find that Jesus once again learns of Philip, and we realize that his curiosity once again brings up a valuable discourse. And I'm thankful. Hey, sometimes it's good to ask questions. Amen. Andy stands up here and he'll say something during Sunday school and he'll say, "Anybody got any comments? Anybody got any questions?" And sometimes that can bring about some good conversation. Amen. Sometimes it can open up a can of worms if you want to know the truth. But I believe that it can help us, amen, to have some valuable discourse. And here old Philip is over there in chapter number 12, verse number 20. Now, I believe that he's brought us and teaching us some ways about how God works. He's taught us some lessons on life. I believe he also gives here some directions on death. Oh yeah. Hey, if we're going to know about living, we also need to know about death. Amen. We need to know about death. The Bible says here in verse number 20, "And there were certain Greeks among them that came up to worship at the feast." Now, these Greeks, these outsiders, they were not Jews. They were there wanting to observe. Jesus has just made His triumphal entry over there in verse number 12. And we see that the Greeks have come there unto Jerusalem and they're just wanting, they're just kind of curious. They're just walking about and they hear about this man in the name of Jesus and they've heard of His power and they've heard of how that He has ability to do great miracles. And the Bible says there in verse 20 that there were certain Greeks among them that came up to worship at the feast. And the Bible says in verse 21, "The same came therefore to Philip, which was of Bethsaida of Galilee, and desired him, saying, 'Sir, we would see Jesus.'" Come unto him wanting to know whom that he is, wanting to know where that he might be. And they approach Philip, this one, this disciple of the Lord Jesus. The Bible says that Philip cometh and telleth Andrew. And again, Andrew and Philip tell Jesus. He wasn't too sure if he ought to approach the Lord God Almighty about this issue, so he went and got somebody to help him. You know, sometimes it ain't too bad to, hey, if you feel like you can't come to the altar by yourself, hey, you got something burdening your heart so heavy, but you feel like you just can't approach Him on your own, why don't you just reach out your arm and grab the hand of your neighbor? Hey, I'd say that everybody in this church would be happy to pray with you if you just reach out and take a hand of somebody else. Maybe Philip didn't have the courage to go by himself.
And so he reached out and he got Andrew. And the Bible says that he get Andrew and Philip tell Jesus. And Jesus answered them saying, He says, the hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. I'll tell you what, Jesus knew that it was His cross to bear. Jesus knew that He had something waiting ahead of Him that only He could do. Amen. Amen. Hey, there might be many might try to atone for sin. Might be many try to bring forgiveness unto lost mankind. But it took God Almighty. It took pure blood. It took precious blood. It took a man that was born of the Virgin Mary and that was conceived by the Holy Ghost. And we find that Jesus was the only one that could bear that cross. And Jesus knew, and the Bible says there that He spoke, and He said, the hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified. And He says in verse 24, verily, verily, or truly, truly, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. The only way that that seed that you buy at the store can ever bring forth life is if it's first placed in the ground and it dies of itself, and then it shall bring forth new life. And the Bible tells here and teaches us about that corn of wheat. It says, except a corn of wheat fall on the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. I'm here to tell you what, there's abundance in death. Amen. Hey, I'm thankful for the Lord Jesus that He said, I'm going to go to the cross of Calvary. I'm going to die there in agony and shame. I'm going to suffer for you. I'm going to suffer for all of the sin of all mankind for all time. And there I'm going to die on that cross. I'm going to be buried and I'm going to be rose again. But boy, through that death of the one Lord Savior, Jesus Christ, through His resurrection, to be the first one out of the grave, that through Him there's been many there after. Amen. Hey, I'm here tonight to stand as a witness of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and say that if He had not died, I could not live. If He had not given of Himself there upon Calvary to die and to be born again, raised again, I would have never been born into the family of God. So we find here the Bible teaches us, hey, some directions on death. The Bible says there in verse number 25 that he that loveth his life shall lose it. And he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. I want to tell you what, my friend, the only way that you'll ever prosper in the family of God is to set your pride aside. Only way that you'll ever be able to serve God is to get that chip off your shoulder. Only way you'll ever be able to serve God is to realize that you're a nothing and a nobody, and that you've been saved by grace through faith, and that your task is not to flaunt till salvation. Your task is not to lord it over somebody else, but you're to humble yourself at the foot of Jesus and say, God, I thank You for Your mercy, and I thank You for Your grace, and I'm going to give up of myself that I might tell somebody else about the good news of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Hey, that ain't popular preaching, amen. Hey, that ain't something that everybody wants to do. Hey, your children aren't aspiring to become a servant in this world. But I'll tell you what, if you're ever going to be anything in the kingdom of God, you've got to realize you've got to humble yourself. You've got to serve Him and Him alone. And that you've got to give of yourself to bring glory unto Him. Hey, the Bible says, he that loveth his life shall lose it. You know what that's talking about? It's talking about dying to yourself. It's talking about dying to whom you desire to be. And you begin to sit back and say, Lord Jesus, whom is it You want me to be? Hey, that's the process of sanctification. I want to tell you what, God is holy. God is righteous. God is pure. And what you've got to do is you've got to say, God, I want You to sanctify me. What does sanctification mean? It means set me apart, Lord. Help me to remove of myself that I might allow You to come down and sit down upon the throne of my heart. My friend, we need to realize that Jesus said that we as believers need to be set apart. We need to be sanctified that we might be holy, that we might be consecrated, that we might live a life that's pure. Hey, we'll never live a life that's perfect, but boy, we can sure strive. Amen. And the only way you're going to do that is to set yourself aside and die to yourself. He that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. My friend, I believe that we ought to love Jesus. Amen. Hey, we ought to hate the world. We ought to hate the flesh. We ought to hate the devil. But we ought to love Jesus and let Him live in and through us. And the Bible says that he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. If any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. Hey, I'll tell you what, you can find honor in the sight of God if you'll serve Jesus. You can find your name written down in the portals of heaven if you'll ask Jesus into your heart. But I'll tell you what, on that day of the judgment seat of Christ, you'll also receive some riches and glory if you serve Him. You'll receive some crowns that you might throw back at His precious nail-scarred feet if you'll serve Him. So it's about dying to ourselves. Some good directions that old Philip brought about. Hey, the Bible says in verse number 27, "Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour, but for this came I unto this hour." Amen. Hey, the Bible tells us that Jesus could have called 12 legions of angels to come to His rescue and to remove Him from that cross of Calvary. But He did not do it. He took His stand and He said, "I'm going to follow it on through that I might bring glory unto my God in heaven above." He says right there in verse number 28, He says, "Father, glorify Thy name." He knew why He was brought forth, and that was to become the suffering servant. Do you realize why God saved you? He didn't save you just to live your life however you want to live it. He saved us to give of ourselves that others might be born again, that we might be able to see our family birthed in the family of God, that we might be able to see our community brought into a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, that you might be a light in a dark world. That's why Jesus saved you, to bring glory and honor unto His name. Hey, the Bible says, "Then there came a voice from heaven saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again." The Bible says in verse 29, "The people therefore that stood by and heard it said it thundered. Others said an angel spake to him." Jesus answered and said, "This voice came not because of me, but for your sakes." Well, I'll tell you what, Jesus already knew the Father. Amen. Amen. He probably talked to Him that morning in some solitary place as He rose early to go out and to pray. He already heard the voice of Almighty God in eternity past as He called out your name and said, "I'm going to die for him. I'm going to die for her." He had already heard the voice of God. But God spoke this that He might be acknowledged, that He might be glorified amongst you and I. The Bible says in verse 31, "Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me." This He said, signifying what death He should die. He's taught us some directions on death. Hey, my friend, what do we need to do with the death of the Lord Jesus? You just need to lift Christ up in your life. Amen. When you rise in the morning and you go to work, when you rise in the morning and you go to school, what you need to do is just lift up Jesus. Just magnify Him. The Bible says right there, "And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me." Hey, you just live for Jesus. You just die to yourself and just live for God and let Him live in and through you. You just tell the gospel. Just share the good news of the Jesus and how that He saved you and how that He prospered you and how that He done a great work in your life. Just magnify Him and lift Him up. And let Him bring the conviction, amen? Let Him bring the faith. Let Him bring the courage that He might draw all men unto Himself. But God might want you to be a witness. God might want to use you to allow somebody to come to a saving knowledge of Jesus. But the only way we can do that is to die to ourselves, amen? So we see here some ways that God works. He used Philip, this old boy of curiosity, this man that had great concern as to whom that Jesus was, and he brought about some valuable discourses here in the Gospel of John. So we see the way God works, there's some lessons on life, there's some directions on death, but there are also some teachings on the Trinity. Look with me in John chapter 14, in verse number 8. We find Philip here. As I said earlier, it seems like that he was a man that had been brought up in religion. He was a man that had been taught from a very young age the law and the Pentateuch and the Torah. He knew the prophets. He understood that they spoke of one to come. And he had embraced Jesus. He had received Him as his Savior. He had acknowledged that the only way he was going to bring glory unto the Lord Jesus was to die to himself and just be a servant of the Most High. But we find that there were still some things that he was not sure about, and one of them being some teachings on the Trinity. Look with me in verse number 8, chapter number 14, Gospel of John. Bible says, "Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us," or "it satisfieth us." He still wasn't sure as to whom that Jesus truly was. He still had some questions about the Trinity. And Jesus saith unto him, Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? I'll tell you what, I bet Jesus looks at you and I sometimes like that. Oh yeah. I believe God looks at you and I sometimes like that. Huh? Whenever we're out there on the highway and we listen to something we ought not listen to, when we're sitting in our reclining chair and we flip the channel through something we ought not flip through, whenever we are in a place that we ought not dwell, when we do something that we ought not do, I bet Jesus looks down upon me and He says, Tim, I thought you knew me. I thought you trusted in me. I thought you knew better. Amen. Hey, sometimes I bet God looks down upon you. I know He does me. He speaks to my heart and says, you ought to know better than that, boy. You ought to know better than that. And the Bible says right here that He did the same thing unto Philip. Now the Bible says that Jesus saith unto him, Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, Show us the Father. Hey, I'll tell you what. Everything you need to know about God Almighty above, God the Father, you can find through the character, you can find through the conduct, you can find through the life of the Lord Jesus Christ that you find written in the pages of God's Holy Word. Hey, if you want to know about God the Father, meet God the Son, study Him, learn of Him, and know Him. Hey, the Bible tells us here that Jesus said a statement of fact here. Hey, that God and Jesus are glorified, unified all in one through the Son, the Lord Jesus. He says, Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, He doeth the works. Hey, Jesus, God the Father, God the Son, are one and the same. Hey, there's some folks on this earth that think you and I are crazy. They think that we worship three gods. I'm here to tell you what, we don't worship three gods. We worship one God in three persons, one God in three essences, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. The Bible says there in verse number 11, He says, Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very works' sake. I'm here to tell you what, the only way that Jesus could heal blind eyes was through the power of God. The only way that He could heal the leper was through the power of God. The only way He could calm the sea was through the power of God. The only way that He could give His life and die and be buried and rose again was through the power of God that flowed through His veins, because He had pure blood. He had precious blood. And so we find here that God the Father and God the Son are unified in one. Hey, the Bible goes on to tell us here in verse number 12, He says, Verily, verily, I say unto you, He that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. The greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto the Father. Hey, I'll tell you what, God can allow you to be a great witness for Him. You say, Jesus is the greatest witness. Jesus is the greatest preacher. Jesus is the greatest teacher. Hey, I'm here to tell you what, you can teach your Sunday school with greater fervency and with greater zeal. If you'll get along with God and say, God, give me the power of the Holy Ghost. God, give me the touch of God upon my life, that I might go and I might teach Him children some things about You, that I might glorify You. Hey, God will help us, amen, to be better servants. He'll help us to be better sayers. He'll help us to be a better witness for Him wherever He calls us to go, if we'll just acknowledge His power is found in the Lord Jesus. See what it says? Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me. Have you trusted in Jesus? Have you placed your faith in Him? Hey, the Bible says, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. The greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto the Father. But look what it says in verse 13. And whatsoever ye ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. I want to tell you, I believe it's imperative that we pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. I believe it's important that we pray in the name of Jesus. I believe that it's imperative. And the only way that God will hear our prayer is if we include Jesus. The only way that God Almighty will do what we ask Him to do is if we first of all seek the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and we pray in the strong name of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The Bible says, whatsoever ye ask in my name. Hey, there's power in the name of Jesus. Amen. Hey, He's God Almighty. He's God in human flesh. I'm trying to think about the word. But we find here, the Bible says right here, whatsoever ye ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. if ye ask anything in my name, I will do it. Now, it has to line up with His will. Amen? Amen. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and I will add all these things unto you. Hey, it's got to be in His will. Look with me in verse 15. He says, if you love me, keep my commandments. Hey, if we truly love Jesus, we need to walk with Him. We need to talk for Him. We need to allow our life to line up with the Word of God. And when we fall short, we need to seek His face. Amen. Hey, confess our sins. And the Bible says, if we'll confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So we see that we need to walk with Him. If we love Him, we need to keep His commandments. And the Bible says in verse 16, and I will pray the Father, and He shall give you another Comforter, that He may be that He may abide with you forever. Hey, I'm thankful for that Comforter. Amen. I'm thankful for that Paracletos. I'm thankful for that one that comes and walks alongside of me. Aren't you glad, Curtis, wherever you're on a high-speed chase, there's one that's there with you, hey, that's powerful, that's all omniscient, omnipresent. Hey, He sees all, He knows all. Hey, I'll tell you what, I'm thankful. Whenever I'm up there about 80 foot, a big old popper, and I don't know if the basement's hollered out by much of ants or not. Sometimes it's good to not know, brother. But I'm here to tell you what, hey, we ought to thank God that there's always a Comforter, and He's always there with us. He'll never leave us, never say. He walks right there side beside us. He ain't running out there way ahead like sometimes our youngins do. He ain't lollygagging behind sometimes like our folks do. But He's right there side beside, sticking close by. I'm thankful for what Peter brought about, or Philip rather, brought about in these teachings on the Trinity, ways God works. The Bible says there, and I'll pray the Father, and He shall give you another Comforter, that He may abide with you forever. I'm going to tell you what, till the day you die, God's going to be with you if you first of all trusted in Jesus. Amen. Hey, those lessons on life. And if you die to yourself in those directions on death, hey, He'll bring power unto you. He'll anoint you. He'll give you strength and courage and boldness to live the life that you need to live. And He'll always be with you. The Bible says in verse 17, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it seeth Him not, neither knoweth Him, but ye know Him, for He dwelleth with you and shall be in you. Amen. Hey, He's right there with inside of your heart. He's right there in the depths of your soul. That soul speaks of your living being. Amen. Hey, there's life in the blood of Jesus. Hey, it's the seed of your emotions. It's the seed of your appetite. It's what gives you courage. It's what gives you the strength to keep going when you feel like backing up and backing down and giving in. Hey, I'm glad that Jesus brings strength, and it's through the Spirit of truth. Hey, the world cannot receive because it seeth Him not. But because we receive Jesus, He's given us the Comforter in the power of the Spirit of God and through the power of the Holy Ghost. And the Bible says, neither knoweth Him, but ye know Him, for He dwelleth in you and shall be with you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Boy, I'm glad that He's with us, aren't you? I'm glad. Hey, the Bible says, yet a little while and the world seeth me no more, but ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also. At that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. Hey, I'm glad that He's here, aren't you? Hey, that's the way God works in our life. He wants us to learn some lessons on life that we might be born again. He wants us to learn some directions on death that we might know that we've got to die to ourselves. If there's ever going to be any power in our life, if a touch of God's ever going to be upon our family, we've got to die to ourselves. And my friend, there's great teachings on the Trinity there that Philip brought to pass. I'm glad I've got a Comforter, aren't you? I'm glad I've got a Comforter, and He's here with us tonight. Somebody here tonight God spoke to. You might not be where you need to be in your relationship with the Lord Jesus. Maybe somebody here tonight that's lost. Somebody here tonight has never been born again. And Christ wants to extend to you one more opportunity, one more invitation to receive Him. Amen? Hey, the Bible says that He came to seek and to save that which is lost. The only way you can get saved is to get lost. The only way you can get converted and become born again is to receive that conviction of the Holy Spirit and receive it and know that you're lost and separated from God. Will you trust in Him tonight? Will you accept Him tonight? Will you believe in Him tonight? God's urging you and speaking on you. Somebody here tonight is saved, but you're not giving in. You're saved, but you're not surrendered. You're saved, but you're not set apart, sanctified the way you ought to be. God wants to use you, but you've got to die to yourself.
Somebody here tonight just don't realize, don't think you got the courage, don't think you got the boldness. Hey, if you're saved, the Holy Ghost of God, the Spirit of God, Spirit of truth, that Comforter that Jesus spoke about, He's here to give you power. He's here to give you strength. Just receive Him. Every head bowed and every eye closed.